In many ways, the story of this election is, it turns out, it's a success for centre-right, but not particularly because they have made terrific gains. It's the centre-left that's lost, basically. I mean, pretty much the vote for the mainstream centre-right Christian Democratic parties has held up. And in many countries, whether in government or in opposition, the vote for centre-left has collapsed. So that's the big difference here. And it's telling that in the makeup of the new parliament, the gap between the centre-right, which will have around over 260 seats in a 736-seat parliament, is not that different from the outgoing parliament, whereas the grouping of European Socialists is about 100 seats below the centre-right, which is a much wider margin than before.
And how did the grouping of parties that includes Britain's Conservative Party fare in these elections?
Well, if we knew who they were forming their grouping with, I'd be able to tell you. But fundamentally, the two main partners, the ODS party in the Czech Republic, the centre-right party there, natural partner for the Conservatives, liberal free market right-wingers, they took 9 seats and handsomely won the election, surprisingly, because their government was toppled in Prague just a few weeks ago. So they're happy. In Poland, which is the other big partner for the Tories, the Law and Justice Party of the Kaczynski twins also did creditably with 15 seats out of Poland's 50. I mean, the governing party there, which is also centre-right, the Civic Platform, easily won the election, took almost half of the national vote and won half of the seats, 25 seats. So they really had a victory. But the Kaczynski brothers were expecting 15 seats, and that's what they got. So that makes up the numbers nicely for the Conservatives, because they need those numbers. But more problematic is they need 7 countries in all from the 27 in the EU in order to make up their new caucus, official caucus in the parliament. You need a spread, a geographical spread, as well as a minimum of 25 seats. Now, they've got over 50 seats probably, but they need another 4 countries. And we don't quite know for sure, and they're being very coy about it, we don't know exactly who their potential partners are yet. It looks like there'll be the odd single-seat kind of maverick figure in some of the Baltic states, in Estonia or Latvia, for example. Perhaps the Danish People's Party, hardline right-wing anti-immigrant party, we don't know. They have 2 seats. We don't know whether they will be coaxed into this new alliance. Prospective partner in Bulgaria, I'm afraid, never made the cut. They never won any seats, so they're out of the running.
And the UKIP and British National Party, they've had some success in these European elections in the UK. Who are their allies going to be in Europe?
Well, they tend to sit in a grouping of kind of independent-minded. They don't really have a grouping as such. They just sit with, you know, national parties that support them. They don't want to sit with anyone else and support their own national policies and are generally Eurosceptic or downright, you know, positively anti-EU like UKIP is. I mean, it's a single-issue party that campaigns for the end of Britain in Europe. Simple as that. So they won't be forming any big grouping, unlike, for example, the Conservatives or further to the right, the kind of what's named and called the neo-fascists, who have picked up seats all over the place, maybe in about 10 countries, and should be able to form a fraction of their own in the parliament.